Hi, thank you so much for being here today. We're going to be studying the Word of God from the book of Luke 19. Luke chapter 19, 11 to 27. So make sure your Bible is open and ready, because I'll be guiding you through the study and I'll be moving through a lot of passages for you. But before we do that, let's just give our hearts to God and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to share, to teach your Word through technology, through all of these resources that we have from anywhere in the world. Today, as my listener listens to the Word of God, help them listen to your voice and not mine. In Jesus' name. Amen. So before we begin, let's just open our Bibles to Luke 19. Luke 19, verses 11 to 27. And as I read, you follow. Verse 11, as they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. He said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas. And he said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first came before him, saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will condemn you with your words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank? And at my coming I might have collected it with interest. And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him, and give it to the one who has 10 minas. And he said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that to everyone who has more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. Now, the parable of the 10 minas, as you know, it comes as a response from Jesus to the religious leaders, to the common folk of that time, as these people were expecting a political Messiah, right? And the people were expecting Jesus to lead the rule, to lead the country, and as he enters Jerusalem, and to restore the place of God, and to restore their national sovereignty. But to their utter disappointment, I might say, it was not the case, because as you read verse 11, again it says, the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. They thought that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. Now before we move ahead, let's contemplate a bit on this word, on this particular word, immediately. Now, turn with me to Mark 4, 30 to 20. Mark 4, 30 to 32. Mark chapter 4, verse 30 to 32. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. You see, the kingdom of God, the messianic rule, begins in a small and unnoticed way. The kingdom of God commences inconspicuously. Why the metaphor of the mustard seed? Well, because The mustard seed emphasizes here small beginnings, all right? Small beginnings, but remarkable growth. Luke 17:20, it says, being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. You know, the Pharisees desired to see signs. They wanted answers. They wanted to know whether the cosmic signs would proceed to the coming. And they wanted to make sure that they would not miss this spectacular event, all right? So they kept asking God, they kept asking people, they kept asking and doubting. But Jesus replies that over here, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. So he apparently meant that the kingdom of God will not be accompanied by spectacular signs, all right? But the kingdom of God will come quietly. The kingdom of God came quietly, very humbly in a manger. Not as a king. Let me elaborate on that. After Jesus rose on the third day, and he spent the next 40 days, last 40 days here on earth, even then, one of his disciples asked the same question. He asked Jesus, when would the kingdom of God, when would Jesus come back and restore the kingdom of to Israel, right? Because they concluded that from the resurrection, the messianic era had dawned, and the final salvation of Israel was imminent. And they were still expecting this political messiah, this military ruler, to restore their land, to drive out the Romans, to drive out their enemies from their land, and restore national sovereignty to Israel. However, Jesus corrected in Acts chapter 1, verse 78, he corrected them, saying, it is not for us to know. It is not for us to know. It's none of our business here to know whether he's coming back, when he is coming back. Instead, we are to become a witness for Jesus. To become a witness. That is the most important thing that we have to do while we wait and anticipate his coming. See, the kingdom of God will have a modest beginning, but a glorified final state. The kingdom will not see its full glory until the return of Christ. Please remember that. Most of you might have studied this book, the book of Luke, and you might agree with me on some of the key themes that I'm going to be bringing out for you. Number one, the arrival of the actual presence of God is still a future event. As we have discussed earlier, it is not going to come with all its glory until the return of Christ. It's still a future event, alright? And secondly, which is the most important thing, believers are supposed to live a faithful life of prayer. Luke 18:1 says, pray and not lose heart. I say, pray and not lose heart of his glorious return. To pray without ceasing, to practice good stewardship, which is the main point of this Bible study today from this chapter, to be a good steward, to be responsible with what God has given you here on earth. Whether he has given you or blessed you with wealth, with possessions, or gifts, do you use them to glorify God, or do you use them to glorify yourself? So this is the most important topic, or the theme of this particular study today from the book of Luke 19, to be a responsible steward. So let's move along to verse 12 and 13. Let's read it together. He said, therefore, verse 12, he said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return, calling 10 of his servants. He gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. What do you mean by engage in business? The NIV translation says this, put this money to work. Well, business activity here is just one of the few examples that is being used for positive activity. But rather than emphasizing on business, we should have a main priority on stewardship, all right? We're given some money, or the servants are being given some money by the master here before he leaves, and he expects them to take care of them, to produce more out of the little money that he has given them. And so that when he comes back, he will be satisfied with the results, with the fruits, alright? The same thing can be applied to your life. Stewardship. What is the meaning of stewardship? Well, stewardship means you're given an opportunity to oversee things, to handle things, to manage something, alright? And you're blessed with a few gifts, a few possessions, or a lot of it. You're blessed with wealth. Are you handling that? Are you being honest with it and glorifying God with it? You see, some of us are blessed with the gift of speech. I want to ask you, do you use that to glorify God, or do you instill hate? Do you talk about lies? Do you spread lies? Do you spread hate and glorify the desires of men? Are you not building up your fellow believer with graceful speech and love? A lot of questions can be asked. You can ask these questions to yourself if you're one of them. Let's move on forward. But we should know before we move on that this is the most important point today. Each one of us, we have a responsibility. Responsibility for the things that God has given us. Stewardship is the main key here, remember. Now go to James 5, 4 to 6. James chapter 5, 4 to 6. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. This applies to some of you. Are you defrauding your workers? Are you being faithful with your workers here? Or are you ever so self-indulgent and materialistic that you've forgotten God, from whom you have received all these wonderful gifts? The next point here we have to really be careful about is that at the end of your life, you're going to be giving an account of how you have lived your life. You're going to be giving an account to Him when He returns and brings judgment. And so before you stand before the throne of God, He's going to expect you to give an answer. So what are you to do then while you're still alive? You're supposed to serve one another with individual gifts. 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Serve one another with your gifts. Use it to glorify God. Use it to build your fellow believer. 1 Timothy 6:17, 19. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. 1 Timothy 6:17-19. What is the meaning of haughty here in verse 17? Haughty, you know, you're arrogant, you're proud, you feel superior that you have more. And we're supposed to not... We should understand that we're not supposed to live life like that. Just because we have more than what the other brother... we have more than the other person. Or just because we feel richer, we have more wealth than the other person. We're not supposed to be arrogant that way. Nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. Turn with me to Matthew 6:20. Matthew 6:20, it says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. if you're going to be selling your life around that, around your wealth and your possessions, it's eventually it's going to be destroyed one day, and you can't even carry that when you're dead. But instead, put your faith in God. Put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Verse 18, they are to do good, to be rich in good works, you know, to be generous and ready to share. First of all, the rich, they don't need to work anymore. You know, they have enough. They don't need to earn a living anymore because they have enough. So that puts them in a very fortunate place because they have all the time and resources and opportunity to help those in need, to help build the church, and to provide and be generous about it, and to do good works. Of course, the main point that we have to remember that we believe in is that we are already justified by grace and our faith alone, alright? But even our works and our deeds will affect God's evaluation of our service to Him, and we will be rewarded appropriately. Each one of us will have to give an account of our lives to God. Secondly, we are to be a channel of His blessings. We are not supposed to keep these blessings to ourselves. 2 Corinthians 9, 6-7 says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So the motivation behind giving is out of joy, out of contentment that you're giving back to God. There should be an overflow of many thanksgiving to God, and that you can do by providing what is necessary to the poor, to the ones who are in need, or just merely saying, thank you God, I'm going to give this to you, I'm going to give this to your kingdom because I love you, Lord. I am really grateful that you've put me in a very fortunate place. And your giving will maximize your joy. It will also help fellow believers to honor God, and you will honor God in many ways that way. You will bring praise that way. You see, God is not telling you or any one of us to give a certain amount, all right? He has never done that, and He won't. But He gives an opportunity for us to give generously. He gives us an opportunity for us to give generously. We should also be careful in life as well. When some of us are blessed with many gifts, or some, these gifts that we have, they're not our masters, all right? Always remember that. They're not our masters. We are not supposed to be controlled by these. We are not supposed to be obsessed by these things that are in our possessions, or, you know, the things that we are being blessed with. Because these things are tools. Always remember that. They're tools, not our masters. Not to be governed by them. Luke 16:11. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and your addiction. You cannot serve God and your wealth. You should have loyalty, utter loyalty to God. You ought to be loyal to God. And you have to honor God, the one who gave what you have right now. The one who gave you everything. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, which is also a very important verse. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, who you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Your body being the best, the most important gift that God has blessed you with. You should be able to honor Him with your body, because He bought you with a price. and the price was his son, Christ, on the cross. Always be reminded of that, right? Also remember that every new day that you receive, every new day is a gift from God to you. Do you want to know why I say that? Because some of us here, in fact many of us, still regret our past. We tend to think about our past and live in the past and then regret the things that we did or we did not do. But I'm telling you that you can't change that by thinking over it. You can't ever change your future by thinking about your past. But what you can do is analyze the things where you've gone wrong and use the new day as an opportunity to change from your old ways. The money that you have, however little or much, is God's gift to you. Every talent that you possess, every skill or every trade, every possession, every wealth, every house, everything that you own, God gave it to you. How are you going to go glorify God with all these things? How are you going to glorify with your, say you have a talent of singing, you have a good voice? Are you going to spend your time singing songs about sex and drugs and all of these useless things of the world? Or are you going to sing praises to Him? Are you going to glorify God with your music? Now, I'm not saying I despise music. I'm not saying I hate music. I'm just saying, are you spending it wisely? Are you spending the gift that God gave you wisely? Or the skills? Are you being faithful with your skills or your trade in business, for example? Are you being faithful? Are you not engaging in any sort of corruption here? Every possession that you own, every house, are you being hospitable to anyone? Are you welcoming strangers or people who are in need or who are here to visit you and share love? Everything that you own belongs to God. Please remember that. Make believers grow along with that. Help others. Build up believers and reach out the lost. Because one day, as I've mentioned before, you're going to be having... you're going to have to give an account for your lives, alright? Each one of us, including me, I have to give an account for how I've used my gifts, my talents, my possessions, whatever I have. And so, you wouldn't want to be caught without an answer, wouldn't you? And again, as I want to move ahead, we have to go forward to 1 Timothy 6, 9-10. Let's go to 1 Timothy 6, 9 to 10. Let me read it out for you. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9 to 10. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. So, I'd like to point out to you that there's nothing wrong in being rich. I'm not here saying I hate the rich, alright? Nothing wrong in owning a lot of things in your life. But it is wrong only when you do not glorify God with what you have, be it little or even much of it. You see, the material things are not to be condemned because they can be used rightly for the glory of God, the things that you own. But what we have to be really careful about is our desire. And Paul says here, the desire to be rich. Those who desire to be rich will fall into temptation, into traps, into many senseless and harmful desires that's going to ruin your life. Alright? Paul also says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not money, but the love of it. And it is through this craving for money that has led some to wander from the faith. And obviously, if you have a lot of money and if you're going to be this arrogant person, you're not going to be grateful. You're not going to honor God if you're arrogant, if you think you can get anything you want in the world. And because of that, you're going to lose your faith. All right, you're going to be worshipping yourself, you're going to glorify yourself and your desires alone, and you're going to lose your faith and you will suffer tremendously. If you go back with me to the main text, let's read from verse 17 here and move forward. This is going to be my last point for the day. Verse 17 says here, "And he said to him, Well done. Well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities." This here is the ultimate reward. You see, the servants were entrusted with money, and the nobleman instructed them to engage in business and put the money to good work, to good use, as we have read earlier. And some of them, they did well. That's why they were rewarded. So the reward here is the reward that you will receive for faithfully carrying out your responsibility, for faithfully carrying out a responsible stewardship during your time here on earth with the things that you have, with the things that God has blessed you with. And you are being trained here for that life that is to come in the next. So you must do it well, because there is an eternity for you waiting there in your next life with all your rewards and with greater responsibility. So the Lord is testing you. The Lord is watching you and looking at you, whether you'll be faithful with what you are receiving today, so that he can trust you with greater responsibilities in the next life. So constantly remind yourself and pray. Remind yourself to lay up your treasures up in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Again, Matthew 6:20. "And each one of you will receive the reward according to your labor." That's from 1 Corinthians 3:8. "And to use your wealth, what you possess, and the gifts that you are blessed with to glorify God." We're at the end, so let's continue to read the last few verses here, 20 to 23. "Then another came, saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow." What do you mean by severe man? The servant here comes up and says, "I have done nothing. I was afraid of you because you are a severe man." And severe man here means exacting or having a strict requirement. And this was a big disappointment for the master, because it just proves that the servant was not being faithful, or that the servant does not know the master truly. And he was quite lazy to even put the money to work. It says here in verse 23, "Why the master questions him, why then did you not put the money in the bank? At my coming, I might have collected it with interest." You know, he could have put in the bank, could have had more interest by then, so that the banks could use it for loans, but he didn't do so because he was lazy. He was afraid. He didn't know the master well. It just proves your unfaithfulness. Alright, and you cannot make up an excuse on that day when he asks you, how have you lived your life? The same thing can happen to us, so be careful with what you have right now and be faithful with it. So let's just be wise to end with this Bible study. We have to be wise with the gifts that God has blessed us with, or the abilities that he has blessed us with. God dispenses gifts, responsibilities, and opportunities to his people for the good of the church and for the glory of God alone. If you've lost something, or you've been quite unfaithful with what God has blessed you with, you see, there's no need to live in regret. There's no need to live in the past. There's no need to keep on thinking what I could have done or what I should have done. Instead, put your faith in God. Put your hope in God, because God is a merciful God. You all know that. Listen, you can't get back whatever you lost anymore. But what you can truly have now is the gift of tomorrow. God's mercy disguised as a new day, where you can learn from the past and become more like Christ, be more faithful with what you have. A new day is where you learn how to be faithful, analyze where you've gone wrong, and learn how to become a more responsible steward, and give back to God, and glorify Him. So keep on praying, keep asking God to give you direction, to lead your way, to make you a better, more responsible steward. And just keep praying, that's the only thing that we should do. Keep praying and put your trust in God. Listen to me, we don't know when the day or the hour of the return is. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back, right? Not even Christ knows that, but only the Father in heaven knows that. James 5:9 says, "Behold, the judge is at the door." He is not even seated at the throne anymore. He's at the door, waiting to come. "For time is running out. With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And so as you're waiting, be faithful. Be diligent and honor God with what you have and your body. Be found without blemish. Remain faithful till the end. Because I want you to be ready. I want you to give an answer. To be able to give a proper account of your blessings, of your responsibility, when you stand before God. So that He can say, well done. Well done. I'm going to end here with this particular, with this verse. Going back to 1 Peter 4:7. Yeah, 4:7-11. "And the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever." Let's pray. Help us to remember the teachings. Help us to remember your wisdom and to retain it, to be able to apply it to our lives. Help us to be more faithful with what we have from now on. Help us to use these blessings to glorify your name, to build fellow believers and to build the church, and to direct my life according to your way and your will. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, dear listener, for joining me here with this Bible study, and I hope you are blessed with it. I will see you again for another Bible study. But for now, you have a blessed day, a blessed week, and take care of yourself.